2 Timothy 2, verse 19 and verse 20. And when we find our place there, it's obviously these things are to the child of God, and they're so contrary to how the world thinks and how just the normal, when I say normal, I mean the world as we know it today doesn't have much morality, doesn't have much righteousness at all. And so everything we see in the Word of God is almost diametrically opposed to the way the media thinks, the way the world thinks. It just, it seems so totally different. And as you pondered and think about that, meditate on it, it is different. We are different. And it's one but has to look at our country. Now we're I don't know if we're cursed or blessed to have media, all kinds of media. We're on media this morning. So the blessed thing with media is that you can put out the good news, but there's a lot of bad news being put out also. So our country is no exception to any of these other countries around the world where there's rebellion, where there's man without God, there will always be rebellion. There will always be anarchy because rebellion is against any kind of authority, any kind of wholesome statute, you might say, any kind of moral statute. And government is just one of the institutions God ordained that men might govern themselves. And when you got people that don't want to be governed and they want to do this, and I'm careful with these words, they want to do what they want to do or what comes natural, and what comes natural for the natural man is sin, rebellion. So, and there's a little rebel in all of us, but once you get saved, you have to bite your tongue and not do, you know what I'm saying. So this morning in our text, nevertheless, I'm in verse 19. Let me read two verses there and make comment. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. And be assured of this, regardless of what men think, what the world thinks, what our country thinks, the foundation of God standeth sure. It's totally opposed to the foundation of what we call foundational things of our country or world. It's just, but let me finish the thought, because the thought doesn't even speak, it's speaking primarily to the Christian walk and the path that we walk as a child of God. And every day that we walk in the world, and we walk in this dark world, I should say, the more we need to be reminded we're not of this world and we're just passing through it. So here, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And actually, this thrust, this lesson to Timothy from Paul the apostle was to the church and to those folks that were saved and that were making up the assembly called the church today. Because they lived under a time of Roman rule. You had your Caesars and you had your Roman Empire that was in power. And believe me, they were not a godly power. They believed in many gods. So we're almost there today. Everybody's got a god for all different things. It's not the God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. But here, primarily the lesson this morning is to the church. And as last week we said, the path of a good soldier in the time of apostasy, this is still in that same heading and under that same heading till we get to chapter 3. Then by the time we get to chapter 3, we have the apostasy predicted, the believer's resource, i.e. the scriptures. So we're in our Christian life, in our Christian walk, we're to be governed by the Word of God. Now, I do understand that there are other rules and laws that we have to keep. Of course, the human government was established and ordained from God that we might govern ourselves, because all men are not saved. So we and the basic laws came from the oral or the spoken or the written Word of God. A lot of our laws have their foundation in the very Word of God, because we're a Christian nation. And the more laws they write, the further from the God and the Scripture, our God and the Scriptures, we seem to get. So it's very noticeable. So here, nevertheless, the foundations of God stand assured. To the child of God, to you and me that are saved, isn't it a blessing? God don't change. I mean, if you got saved, and I'm everybody here is probably saved, thank God. If you trusted Christ, you were planted, if you please, on a foundation that is solid and unmovable and unchangeable. And Paul is just saying, hey, you want something to hold on to? What better thing to hold on to than your foundation, your roots? And anybody knows from any study of anything, you can't have any kind of a structure without a good foundation. So the church is founded on the rock. We're on the rock. But it makes you think about what Luke was a wise man. He was a physician, so he had to have some training. He was some kind of a doctor of medicine. So he had the training of the day, and probably the best training of the day, but yet he was a believer, and he trusted Christ, and he followed the Lord. And Luke said this. He said in Luke chapter 6, verse 39, and there's a couple of verses there. There's 8 or 9 verses there that lend itself to the thought of a real foundation, the foundation which we're founded on now that we're saved. And when you notice that in verse 39, Luke 6, 39, and he spake a parable unto them, and he's quoting Jesus and what Jesus had to say, but Luke records it. And this must have been great for Luke. Can the blind lead the blind? Now, that's a good question. That's an awesome question. And the reference there is somebody that's not saved. Can unsaved people lead unsaved people? And you think, well, there's some pretty smart people out there. Yeah, but that only goes so far. If you study any kind of history and remember any of your history, any of the leaders from Napoleon, and I got to start somewhere. Let's start with Napoleon. Yeah, he was smart, but he finally succumbed. You say, why? Blind leading the blind. That's what the Bible says. Let's jump someplace else in history. What was another great leader that come to naught? Well, you automatically think of Hitler. You know, he was pretty smart. You take him back in the 30s when he was getting ready to go and he served in the First World War and he come along, if you follow him at all, he had a lot to say. Man, he was going on and on and on. But man, I'll tell you what, blind leading the blind, he didn't make it. And yes. Yeah, there's a good chance that he was. Yeah, he was. Albert Einstein is very smart. Invented many things. So anyway, you get the drift here. Luke's recording what the Lord said. Can the blind lead the blind? Now look, what was that blind Bartimaeus come to the Lord? What did he want? He wanted his sight, and he wanted to know the Lord. So not only did he receive physical sight that day, he received spiritual sight. You realize when you got saved, you received some spiritual sight. And you see things in a different light. You say, what is it? The light of the Lord. So here, the Lord says, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? And that's true. It's dealing with leadership here. And if you have a blind leader leading spiritually blind leader, leading spiritually blind people, they're going to come to naught. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. Now, you think about that. You say, boy, that's totally opposed to what the world thinks and believes. Absolutely. So if you're a Christian today in a church that halfway teaches the Bible and halfway preaches the Bible, you know that there's distinctions between how you feel, how you think, and how the world feels and how the world thinks. So that 40th verse, the disciple is in Luke 6, the disciple is not above his master. So whoever's following the leader, generally the leader is in the above position, but everyone that is perfect shall be his master. Now, there's a lot in that, and the Lord said that about leadership, about physical things, lost people, and saved people. Verse 41, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thine own eye? And what happens there with no kind of spiritual sight, we become professional fault finders. We can find fault with everything else, but we can't see ourselves. And that's what's wrong with worldly leadership today. Hitler, I don't mean to go back to this guy. What an idiot. He couldn't see himself, okay? And let me fast forward. I'm not a Trump basher. But I don't think Donald Trump can see himself sometimes. Amen. You don't have to stop there. Back up another president. I don't think Obama could see himself. Back up another president, George Bush. I don't think he could see himself. Something comes about, and these some of these men may have been saved, may not have been saved, but they become blinded with power or authority, and they cannot see the spiritual. Okay, fast forward. Why do you think the Lord's coming back to set up his rule and reign? Because man can't get it done, won't get it done, won't ever get it done. You might have a good, I believe our society and our way of government's a good way of government, but at the end of the day, it's the blind leading the blind. So step back into the Christian realm now, back into church. Thank God for our spiritual men and spiritual women. Amen. Because every daddy here has the responsibility to supply for his family spiritually. And what's it say in the book of Timothy? That man that will not, is worse than, somebody help me. The man that will, I'm looking at that verse where he's worse than an infidel, and the implication there is a guy that won't work, shouldn't eat, or he's got a responsibility to provide for his own, not only physically, but spiritually. But thank God for all the saved men and all the saved mothers that see that responsibility and try to raise their immediate responsibility, which is their child, up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Say why? Because it's not the blind leading the blind. It's those that have spiritual sight trying to impart spiritual life. So thank God for godly men and godly women that raise their children for a godly cause. I'm still in the book of Luke 6, 39, 40, and 41. Then 42, either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye. And that's the problem with blind leaders leading the blind. They can't see their own problems. And the Lord bluntly says, thou hypocrite, Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Now let me speak from a pastor. And I'm not a pastor. I'm just a helper here, assistant of some kind, of from afar, very far. But let me speak as a Christian first and as a preacher second. It's a humbling thing to have to get up and teach the Word of God and see so clearly what your problems are and deal with them, and then try to teach with compassion and concern others. That's a very sobering, humbling thing. And I see clearer why the Lord girded himself and washed their feet clearly. Say, what is that? It's a sense of humility that comes from a righteousness that's not found on this earth other than in the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit of God. Man's a mess. Preachers are a mess. But yet we got to get up and, well, I guess what I'm saying is pull the mote out of our own eye before we pull it out of somebody else's. That's a rough one. And you hear that around here. I got a lot more grace at my age now for younger Christians. You say, why? Because I see how stupid I was back through the years. Huh? You hear it from our pastor. He said, man, I lived for myself for a number of years. Knew God, loved God, but not like I should have. You'll hear it from Jeremiah. You'll hear it from Samuel. You know, you'll hear it from anybody that's honest with themselves. Man, we're all a mess. Thank God. God can take us and use us for his glory and his honor. Amen. So here, and the lesson in Luke is powerful. And it speaks to the foundation, the great foundation that we have in the Lord. Now watch, and I'll let the scripture develop themselves. He says, for in verse 43 of Luke 6, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, and they call me, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man, here's where I wanted to show you, which built an house and dig deep and laid, and the word foundation shows up, and laid the foundation, watch it, on a rock. Now, the only difference between you or me and the world is if we're saved and they're not saved, our foundation is sure and it's on a rock. And brother, that thing is a blessing to me. In spite of how miserable our flesh can be, in spite of how depraved our mind can think, if we're saved, then we're on the solid rock. And one of these days we'll be able to lay down this robe of flesh and pick up a new body, amen, and the mind of Christ, amen. So, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like the man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And that whole parable in the book of Luke chapter 6, and I read the whole thing, there, all 8, 9 verses of it, has to do with how the house is built. It's built on a foundation. Now, back to what Paul said. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, you may be a wreck this morning, but man, if you're saved, you're on the solid rock. That old Southern gospel chord, where's Brother Tim at? Through my disappointment, strife and discontentment, I cast my every care upon the Lord. No matter what contention, strive for deep. Da, 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 da. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing. That song. You know the song. I don't know what I'm doing trying to sing a song here. Watch it. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Watch that next, those next three words. Having this seal. Wow, hallelujah. You know what? You're on the rock. You got saved. I got good news for you. And he tells these Christians in the church, care what, how the wind blows, how the water rages. I don't care what the world's doing. You're sealed. And he uses the word seal. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, Paul uses that word, who hath also sealed us, talking about the work of the Holy Ghost of God in our lives when we get saved, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. When you got saved, Christ, the Holy Ghost of God, moved in. And when he moved in, he sealed you. You say, against what? Well, against the rot of the world and the craziness that's out there. Amen. And you belong to Christ. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, and that's what it's about. You heard somewhere along the line, maybe when you was a child or when you was a little older, doesn't matter, but you heard. And you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And that's Ephesians 1:13, in whom also after that ye believed, and that's what you did, you heard it, you believed it, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Say, how do you know you're sealed? Simply because the book says you're sealed. I couldn't have figured that out. I wouldn't have sealed me. You say, no, so if I'm a mess, God still loves me? Absolutely. Now, I'm not telling you to wallow in it, amen. I mean, fess up, look in the mirror and say, you know what, Lord, you're right. I'm a rascal, man. I can't fix this thing. But he can. That's why we keep meeting every Sunday. That's why we teach the book every Sunday. That's why the pastor gets up and preaches a message. That's why the singers get up and sing about how great God is and all the things that give him glory and honor and praise. Say, why? Because sometimes we're so miserable, we just need to meet so that we can walk out reassured with the assurance of the foundation that we're built upon. And we're a house fitly framed together, the scripture says. But our foundation is Christ. And Paul wants Timothy to know and teach us every place. It's sure. It's sure. And you're sealed with it. And Paul said in Ephesians 4:30 and verse 31, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I realize in our flesh, we cannot please God. I realize that. But we that are saved and know Christ and have the Spirit in us. But he admonishes, say, folks, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed. And that word sealed comes again. Unto the day of redemption, let all bitterness, here's some of the things that actually give us the fit, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And by the way, those things that he just cataloged there, that's what the world does every day. Oh, Brother Phil, that man was killed up there. And that was the little spark that pushed 110 cities to see these protests and to see to speak out. And not, then the protest turns into violent acts. And I think we had one of our own city police officers, maybe two of them hurt. One was struck by a vehicle and he broke his arm. He's on a police bicycle. The other one was shot at with a weapon and hit in his helmet. It didn't kill him. You say, what is that? Well, let me tell you, that's the world. That's bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. And guess what? They're lost, and I expect it out of those folks. But we're not lost. Our foundation standeth sure. That's the message. We don't act out like that. But put away from you with all malice. In other words, there's no place in a Christian's life for that kind of stuff. So we try to. And guess what? As I said earlier, I am capable of malice. I am capable of bitterness. I am capable of wrath. I am capable of anger, clamor, and evil speaking. And I've been guilty of it. But thank God we have a God that hears and answers prayer, forgives and cleanses by the word of God. So we'll meet next Sunday and teach. We'll meet the following Sunday and teach. We'll meet Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday and preach and teach the word of God. You say, why? Because I need it. You need it. We need to be fortified, furbished, built up, edified in the Lord. You say, why? Just to stand. Because when you walk out that door, you're walking out into a world of bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speakings, malice of all kinds. And that's why one day when the Lord gets back, he'll rule and reign, and there'll be a righteous ruler and a righteous king on the throne of glory. Amen. So right now, we're just passing through a wicked, what's that old song pastor sings once in a while? I am a poor wayfaring stranger. I don't know all the words, but he does a good job. I think he sings it, you folks that sing it. You say, what's that talk? Talking about somebody down here ready to get out. Amen. Amen. All right. So here he says, you're sealed. And in the word of God, seal and sealed, the book of Revelations mentions seven seals for the end time. And I believe we're living close to the end of things, especially the church age. But then the seven, by the way, this book that we have, I don't know, just got a common old black Bible. I don't know if this one up front here would have it. But it used to be all the common old Bibles had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 rings on it. You say, what? That's because it's a seven sealed book. You say, oh, that's just coincidence. No, it's not. They was teaching that 30 and 40 years ago. You say, well, if my Bible doesn't have it, should I throw it away? No, I'm just saying that book has seven seals connected to it. And the book of Revelations talks about the seven seals, which happened during the tribulation period, which we're close to. So that word sealed, if you find it as a noun when you look it up, it's a device or substance that is used to join two things together so as to prevent them from coming apart or to prevent anything from passing between them. You say, what is that? That's a picture of you in Christ and Christ in you. You're sealed. Amen. Amen. Now, that's in the noun sense, in that person, place, or thing. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the person of the Holy Ghost of God that lives in you. He's the preserver. Now, if it's used in the verb sense or the third person present, I should say, and it's number one, fastened or close securely. It's the definition is so powerful, but that's the position of the child of God in Christ Jesus. So just on one little word, seal. And guess what? The Holy Ghost of God chose that word, put it there. You say, why? To help us. You walk out of this place, you're sealed. All right, verse 19. The Lord knoweth them that are his. We may not know who all are saved today, but God does. God knows. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So it is possible for saved people to get involved in iniquities and sins. So we have a duty to God and to ourselves to judge ourselves and to confess our sins and to get away from that iniquity. That's part of the Christian walk. When you feel yourself being pulled down because of sin, bitterness, some of that other stuff, evil, you just steal away someplace and say, God, I'm a mess, and I need you to bless. Amen. So here, I copied this. This is the second inscription on the foundation of God. And remember, we started the verse off with the word foundation. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. And a foundation, by the way, there are seven foundations to the New Jerusalem. So the foundations have layers and they're precious stones, so on and so forth, and jewels. But here, with that thought in mind, this is the second inscription on the foundation found here in our text. It is true that God knows those who are his, and he calls those who are his to leave their sins behind. Number one, the inscription on the foundation of Christ, he knows you if you're his, because you're sealed. And number two, leave your sin behind. That's the inscription. Some might say, well, I belong to the Lord. I know I'm his. I'm going to heaven. It doesn't matter so much how I live. Now, I've heard that all my life. Yet such a son has forgotten that there are two inscriptions on the foundation of God. These are two. There are two. And those who are his will have the desire and the actions to depart from iniquity. Number one, in first inscription, you're his. Second inscription, depart from sin. Say, what are we talking about? We're talking about walking in the path of a good soldier in the days of apostasy. If someone does not have the desire or action to depart from iniquity, we deal with this every day, it is fair to ask if they really belong to Jesus or if they have just deceived themselves. Now, that'd make you scratch your head a little bit. Do you ever have some sin plague you? And man, you get alone someplace and that sin will pop up, devil will make sure of it. And then you'll stop and you'll say, Lord, what am I doing? Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I think that? Man, am I even saved? Go read Romans chapter 7. That's part of the battle. And learn that he's the master of the sea, and when that sea's turned upside down and the wind's blowing, the storm's howling, and the devil's saying, hey, it don't matter, it ain't real, it's not real, you say this, my foundation standeth sure, I'm sealed, in spite of your thoughts. So the solid foundation of God stands. It isn't going to change, therefore we can keep our focus on it. It is hard to focus on something that often changes. And his foundation, that foundation, Christ, does not change. So God gave us a solid foundation in his word to keep our focus on it. And guess what? I'm going to stay focused on the word of God. Amen. Now Spurgeon said this, and I'll quit. The first seal marked it for the Lord. The second secured its removal from the common stones around it. First comes election, and sanctification follows. And that's true in the Christian's life. You get saved, then you start following God. I want every professing Christian to have that double mark And that's those two marks on that foundation. And so to be Christ's man, known of all to be such by coming out from the unclean and being separate unto the Lord. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers ever, he got a hold of that thing, and that was a statement he made on those two marks on the foundation of God that we have in Christ. Oh, I need to quit. I'm done. All right, a little wordy this morning, a little long, but let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word and your book. Bless the preacher as he preaches. Bless our singers and our instrumentation and all that's done. May that lost soul come to know thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.